Well, Tuesday, October 19, 2011, seemed like a typical day in the small town of Zanesville, Ohio. The weather was seasonably cool. It rained for part of the day. People went to work. Kids went to school. And more than 50 wild animals, including lions, tigers, and bears, roamed loose in the suburban streets. That afternoon, the 911 dispatch received reports from alarmed residents. A wolf was spotted near the high school. A mountain lion was seen on a town road. And several people reported that an African lion was standing under a streetlight. By nightfall, Zanesville, Ohio was in a full emergency mode. Residents were told to stay indoors while law enforcement scrambled to protect the public. The chaos all started when Terry Thompson, who owned a local private zoo, released his exotic animals before taking his own life. The freed animals included Bengal tigers, lions, black bears, grizzly bears, mountain lions, leopards, and wolves. News cameras descended on Zanesville as this unbelievable event unfolded. For one evening, lions and tigers stalked the suburban neighborhoods of middle-class America. A peaceful and quiet town had suddenly been transformed into a chaotic and dangerous place. On that day in October 2011, the residents of Zanesville, Ohio, must have had an incredibly hard time believing what they were seeing with their own eyes. After all, no one expects to drive down a quiet suburban street to see lions, tigers, and other exotic animals running loose. Likewise, on Easter Sunday, we celebrate an event that took Jesus' disciples by complete surprise. We celebrate an unexpected event, an event that many people find hard to believe. In our modern scientific worldview, we have a hard time believing that a dead person can rise from the grave. Yet today, on Easter Sunday, hundreds of millions of Christians are celebrating the resurrection of Jesus. The proclamation of what happened at Easter is the pivotal moment in all of human history. For if Jesus did not rise from the grave, the Bible and the Christian faith have absolutely no credibility. Easter is the oldest holiday on the Christian calendar. It is fitting that the celebration of Jesus' resurrection occurs during the return of springtime. Ultimately, the theme is the same. The resurrection of Jesus and springtime both speak of the emergence of life from death. They signal the return of hope and light to a dreary and barren world. As we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus today, we're going to focus on that one word, the word hope. As I said a moment ago, we live in a world that seems to be such a hopeless place. We live in a world that is saturated and stained by human sin, and consequently, evil and despair are all around us. Sometimes we find that life has not gone the way that we hoped it would. We may find ourselves dealing with disappointment, fear, and discouragement. If this does not describe you at the present moment, it probably describes someone you know or someone you love. Someone you know needs hope, and they need encouragement. Easter Sunday is all about hope and new life. It's all about the good news that through his resurrection from the dead, Jesus has conquered sin and conquered death. But don't ever forget that the story of Christ's resurrection begins in a dark place. It begins in a hopeless place. After Jesus was arrested, his disciples scattered in fear. His crucifixion appeared to be the end of their dream that Jesus was the long-awaited Messiah. The story of Jesus' resurrection begins in a dark place. It begins with a woman weeping at the grave of Jesus. So this morning, we're going to journey through a passage in John, a passage that begins with hopelessness. And as we go through this passage, let's see if Scripture can lead us to a place of hope. Follow along with me, please, as I read John chapter 20, verses 11 to 18. John 20, beginning at verse 11. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. Well, from this scripture passage, I want to draw out this morning 3 points for you to consider. 3 points about struggle, hope, and where we find hope. The first point is simply an honest recognition about life. Sometimes as Christians, we want to live in a nice, sanitized church bubble. But Scripture never sugarcoats the truth that this world is a very messy place. Scripture never sugarcoats the truth that life can be very hard. So here's the first truth that comes from today's passage. Life is a constant struggle between disappointment and hope. Here in John chapter 20, we see a woman named Mary Magdalene weeping at the grave of Jesus. Mary had already come to the grave earlier that morning with two other women, only to discover that the grave was empty. So Mary and the other women ran to tell the other disciples that the stone had been removed from the entrance to Jesus' tomb. Two of the disciples ran to the grave to see for themselves, and then verse 10 tells us that the two disciples left and they went back home. This meant that Mary was left alone, standing outside the empty tomb of Jesus. So Mary did the only thing she could do. She stood there all alone, and she cried. Now, who was this Mary Magdalene? A tradition dating back to the 8th century identifies her as the prostitute in Luke chapter 7, who anointed Jesus with her tears. But there is nothing in Scripture to support this particular tradition. What we do know about Mary is that she was one of several women who became followers of Jesus and helped to financially support his ministry. From Luke chapter 8, we also know that Jesus delivered Mary from demon possession. From biblical accounts, we know that demons can cause a person to harm themselves and to lose control of their behavior and their emotions. We don't know what demon possession looked like in Mary's case, but we know that Jesus delivered her from these dark, dark forces. She found hope and freedom in a life centered on Jesus. But now in John 20, Mary has lost all hope. Jesus is dead, and his tomb is empty. It appears as though someone has stolen his body. Mary has gone from a life that was filled with hope to a life that is now marked by disappointment and confusion. And in many ways, this parallels the lives that we lead, doesn't it? One moment we are filled with faith and optimism. Everything looks bright. Then something unexpected enters our life. It could be a health issue, a family problem, or a season of testing that challenges the very things we profess to believe. You see, as long as you and I live on this side of heaven, our faith will be tested by adversity. There will always be challenges that threaten to diminish and eliminate our hope. Like Mary Magdalene, we will find ourselves in a tug of war between discouragement and hope on the other hand. One Easter Sunday, a woman was on her way to church when her car broke down. Not wanting to be late for the special service, she ordered an Uber to come and pick her up. The car arrived and she quickly jumped into the back seat. Halfway through the ride, she asked the driver a question, but the driver didn't respond. So she leaned forward and tapped the driver on the shoulder. The driver let out a loud scream, swerved into the other lane, almost hit another car, and then slammed on his brakes. The car skidded over to the side of the road. The woman and the Uber driver sat there in complete silence for a minute, trying to recover from the shock of what had just happened. Finally, the woman apologized. "Wow, I'm so sorry. I had no idea that tapping you on the shoulder would scare you like that." The driver said, "Look, you shouldn't apologize. You really didn't do anything wrong. This is my first day driving for Uber, and you are the first customer I have ever picked up. You see, for the past 25 years, I've been driving a hearse." We laugh, but it's true that it's scary or uncomfortable for us to discuss death. But let me remind you, as Christians, we have the hope of knowing that through his resurrection, Jesus has conquered the grave. And this leads me to the second point I want to get across this morning. Our hope is grounded in the historical fact of Jesus' resurrection. Remember Mary Magdalene standing outside the tomb of Jesus, weeping because her hope was gone. At that moment, Mary had no reason to hope. There was no wishful thinking because all she saw was an empty tomb. To her, an empty tomb simply meant that someone had stolen Jesus' body. But in the middle of her despair, verse 14 says, she turned around and she saw Jesus standing there, only she did not recognize that it was Jesus. She couldn't mentally conceive that he had risen from the dead. Now, you and I tend to believe that people who lived in the first century were kind of gullible, probably more gullible than we are. After all, they didn't have all the scientific knowledge that we possess. So skeptics conclude that Jesus' followers created stories of his resurrection from the dead. To believe that Jesus rose from the dead would have been as difficult for the disciples to believe as it is for 21st century people to believe. You see, back in the first century, the Greeks did not believe in the resurrection after death. In the Greek worldview, death meant liberation of the soul from the body. As for the Jews, they believed in a future general resurrection at the end of human history. But they had no concept of a person rising from the dead like Jesus did in the middle of human history. So the very notion that the gospel writers would have fabricated a story about Jesus' resurrection is highly, highly unlikely, because this concept would never have occurred to them. But the gospel writers all affirm that Jesus' tomb was empty because he did rise from the grave. Something gave the early followers of Christ immense courage to face death and to face imprisonment for the sake of their faith in Christ. For example, history tells us that Matthew was speared to death in Ethiopia. Peter, Andrew, and Philip were crucified. James and Paul were beheaded. Other believers were boiled to death in hot oil, all because they defended their faith in Christ and they refused to renounce their belief in his resurrection. Only a dramatic, life-changing event like the resurrection can explain the courage and the transformation of Jesus' first disciples. I also want you to note the first words that Jesus spoke to Mary. In verse 15, he said to her, "Woman, why are you crying?" With those words, Jesus was not minimizing human grief. He was not minimizing the disappointment that we sometimes feel about life. With those words, Jesus was about to reveal to Mary that hope is never gone when we put our hope in the right place. Although Mary couldn't understand it at the time, Jesus had just conquered what I believe to be the three greatest enemies that every person faces. Number one, the power of sin over our life. Two, the fear of death. And three, despair over the future. We don't despair because through his death and resurrection, Jesus has conquered our greatest enemies. Back in World War II, Viktor Frankl survived several years in concentration camps. He noticed something interesting. He noticed that many of the prisoners died immediately after Christmas. These prisoners were hoping that they would be set free in time for Christmas to be with their families. When they weren't set free, they simply gave up. Frankl learned that as long as prisoners had something to live for, as long as they had reason to press on, as long as they had hope, they can endure almost anything. But once they lost hope, they quickly died. You see, hope is to the human spirit what oxygen is to the body. We cannot live without it. If hope is essential to the human spirit, this leaves us with an important question. Where do we find hope? This leads us to a third point. True hope is found in the one who has conquered sin and death. When confronted with the empty tomb of Jesus, Mary was confused and she was grieving. She needed hope, and hope came when she realized that Jesus was alive and he was with her. She literally needed an encounter with Jesus. In verse 16, she realized that the man standing near the tomb wasn't the gardener, it was Jesus himself. He proved that he was stronger than death. He proved that he was stronger than evil. He proved that he was stronger than the injustice of his arrest and his crucifixion. Verse 18 tells us that Mary ran to the other disciples to give them the news that Christ had risen. You see, it was her encounter with the risen Christ that infused Mary with hope. You know what the problem is we often look for hope in all the wrong places, don't we? We say to ourselves, as long as I'm financially secure, I'm going to be hopeful about my future. If I get a new job, things will be better. But very few things in life are certain. We need to realize that true hope is not a what, a when, or a why. In other words, none of us can find lasting hope in things like financial security, good health, a good job, and so forth. None of these things last forever. They are ultimately subject to loss and uncertainty. True hope is not a what, a when, or a why. We need somebody who is wise enough, strong enough, and good enough to get us to a better place. And that someone is Jesus. On Good Friday, we reflected on the sacrifice he made for our sin, which addresses our need for forgiveness. And today, we celebrate his resurrection. His resurrection proves that he is stronger than any failure, disappointment, or loss that you can face in life. The resurrection of Christ is the basis for lasting hope. In the New Testament, the word hope appears 71 times, but it is only used one time before the resurrection. After the resurrection, the word hope is used 70 times. That tells us that our hope is wrapped up in the historical fact of Jesus' resurrection. Well, there's a story about a hunter. He was walking through the jungle when he found a huge dead elephant with a man standing right beside it. Amazed, he asked, "Did you kill that?" The man said, "Yes." The hunter said, "Well, how can a little man like you kill a huge beast like that?" The man said, "I killed it with my club." The astonished hunter asked, "What? How big is your club?" The man replied, "Well, there's about 60 of us." Now, I tell you that story because throughout life, we're going to encounter elephants, we're going to encounter giants that cause us to fear or cause us to become disillusioned. But God never intended us to face those giants alone. In today's passage, Jesus shows us how to share hope with others. Notice that Jesus never scolded Mary for her lack of faith. He never condemned her. He didn't say, "Stop crying, everything's good." No, what he did is he listened to her, and then he met her at her place of need. When people are hurting, when they're grieving, when they're disillusioned, they don't need religious cliches. They don't need trite answers. They need us to be the hands and feet of Jesus. They need us to offer hope through our presence, our prayers, and our compassion. Wherever you find yourself today, whether it's in disappointment, fear, pain, loneliness, I want to remind you, I want to encourage you, Jesus can and will meet you in that place. That's exactly what he did with Mary. He met her in her despair and he gave her hope. And the truth is, you and I will never know true hope and we will never know true peace until we put our faith in the living Christ. Why does the resurrection of Jesus matter to you? Why does it matter to me? His resurrection answers the big questions of life. Jesus is the only one who can transform your life and mine. He is truth. He is the only way to God. Through him, we receive forgiveness of sin and eternal life, a hope that lasts forever. If you were here this morning, maybe you're hurting. Maybe you need someone to talk to. Please, I'm always available to talk. And maybe you're here this morning and you're not certain whether you have put your faith in Christ. I want to encourage you. Speak with me after church. Call me at some point. I would love to answer any questions you may have about what it means to know the hope that is found in Christ and in Christ alone. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we can relate to Mary Magdalene on so many levels. Mary found herself, as did the other disciples, in a place of hopelessness and despair. The resurrection story begins in a hopeless place, a dark place. It begins with the disciples in confusion, in fear. For the one whom they believed to be the long-awaited Messiah was dead. The tomb was empty. We thank you that's not the end of the story. We thank you that the tomb was empty because Jesus rose from the grave. Father, we thank you once again this morning that although the world around us is caught in confusion and hopelessness, we have hope in Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life. We thank you that he offers us peace with God. He offers us the hope of forgiveness of sin and the hope of a transformed life. Lord, we pray for any who have never discovered this hope for themselves, that your Holy Spirit would speak clearly to their hearts. We pray for those of us who are believers who have discovered this hope, that you would help us to live lives that are characterized with resurrection hope. Help us to be the hands and feet of Jesus to those who are living in disillusionment and hopelessness and despair. Father, help us to be vessels of your love to a world that desperately needs to know the hope that is found in Christ. We pray these things in his name. Amen. Amen.